Okay. Note to self, have that song sung at my funeral. Good morning. Please be turning to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, we'll start there in just a minute. Acts chapter 8. We have some really talented musicians and really gifted people, which I'm grateful for. Gifts I don't have. I want to thank Nikki for that presentation from Bolivia. You know, we all love Bolivia. We love the work there. We love the heart there. And we love being a part of it, seeing what God does. I've gotten to go there a couple of times. It's just amazing. Great to be together this morning. You know, Colin, you had me at hello. You had me at nothing, too. Now, I got to tell you, I'm really incredibly excited for the church about Sajan and Lisa Sharma. I know you don't know them yet really well, but I've gotten to spend some time with them. Jim knows them well. They're amazing. I mean, they're going to be so good for us. They're going to make an eternal impact on us. So excited. You know, I spent a lot of time practicing the name Sajan. I spend time in front of my mirror at home. Sergeant. I'm getting Sergeant Sharma. Get it. But they have a tremendous amount of experience and patience and love. Can I move this down? Thank you. Yeah. That, okay? They tried to put me live and hook me up, but the thing wasn't having a good day. I think the fire alarm knocked it out. You know, I want to say this too, you know, with Corey Cole and Ashley Bennett, yes. You know, they're subtly awesome. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. For me, they are how the Spirit works, right? It's not as obvious. The seeds and the impact just grow. Yeah. Our kids and our families. And when Corey preaches and teaches, I learn a lot. Yeah. I feel different. I feel better. I feel like that's a way that I don't learn. He's very good. Good. So please turn with me to Acts chapter 8. I do want to say hello to my daughter, Michaela, out here. She's here from college. Will be a senior at UNC coming up. So my prayer this morning is that God will give us an open heart and a fresh look. That's my prayer. Let's look at Acts chapter 8. A lot of pages here. Verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go to the south road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out on his way. He met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace. You may have Candace in your Bible, same thing. Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Assyria. Amazing, right? And so what I want to do is I want to focus on three areas of this I think will help us. Look in verse 26 in the beginning. And I'm going to talk about for us a renewal of humility. Renewal of humility. We have that somewhere. It says here, an angel of the Lord said, you know, go and do this. You know, God directs us. He lives with us. He shows us the way in sometimes unknown and surprising directions. You ever thought about the angels that look after you? I mean, I don't know mine very well, but I know there's a whole passel. It takes a lot of angels to kind of keep me directed. I know three of them. I have one angel, he's really cool. He's calm. He gets me out of a lot of trouble, a lot of mess I get into. It's really smooth in how he does. It's really clever. Wears a suit, and he's got that English accent. I call him 0077. Then there's another angel who's kind of scary and big. Whenever I really mess up, you know, and do stupid things, make bad decisions, he just goes, I call him Lurch. Lurch. And I've got another angel who's very gentle, kind of the voice I need when I need it, wise and caring. She really believes in me, directs me. She's beautiful. I call her Becky. Humility. We love humility. We love it. When we see it, we love it. It's nurturing to our soul. And what we see in Philip and Ethiopian eunuch here is they were very humble, right? They're very humble. I struggle with pride. I struggle with what I want. I struggle with self-sufficiency, self-containment. I struggle because I know I lack genuine prayer. We struggle with pride. We think we don't need that. Anybody ever read the book Grace for the Good Girl? It's a very popular book. So Michaela gave it to me. It's by Emily Freeman. She wrote, I wanted God, but I lived like I didn't need him. I wanted God, but I lived like I didn't need him. And I can really relate to that. My pride gets up whenever I feel like I'm wrong or wronged. You'd think after all these years it wouldn't happen, but it happens. I think we need to be humble. We won't look there, but in 1 Peter 5, 6, and Philippians 2, 3, talked a lot about humility and having humility between each other, being humble. This week I saw where my pride, it divides, it wounds, it doesn't allow relationships to be what they need to be. It causes pain. At the end of my first year of my residency, you know, when you're a resident, medical resident, you, and those of you in medical field know this, you just sort of, you forget about human hygiene, right? You don't really take care of yourself. You don't bathe at proper times. And so the smell of you get used to it. You get used to all your colleagues. They stink too. But unfortunately, I developed a sty, a hortulium, you know, a pocket of pus on my eyelid. It was very unsightly. It didn't look good. Well, I can't have that. So the normal treatment is to warm compresses, some antibiotic ointment, give it a few days, it'll go away. Well, I'm not waiting for that long. So I go into go to the nurse station. I get a 14-gauge needle. And I take it off in front of a mirror. I go, all right. You know, what bad thing could happen? Right? I have this needle. Kind of look at it. You know, you can't see very well because it's in your eye. And sure enough, I popped it. Perfect. It was perfect. Came out, washed it off, done. As you know, with hortuliums, they come back in about 4 days if you pop them. 4 days later, it's bigger, right? Every person I saw, oh, look at that. That's, you know, you have a big pimple on your eyelid, people are going to notice. Sure enough, no problem. Go to the bathroom. What bad thing could possibly happen here? By the time I do it, I blink. Oh! Oh! Oh, it's so painful, so painful. I could feel the blood on my hand. Oh! Thought I punctured my eyeball. Oh, oh, so painful. Right. See? And so I looked up. Fortunately, the eyelid was, it was ripped, right, by the needle, but the eyeball was okay. It hurt so bad. Becky remembers this. Becky was like, what happened to you? Don't want to talk about it? Pride is painful. Causes pain. You know, I think sometimes we just need to be reminded. You know, in the old days, we would tell people, oh, you're really prideful, really, really prideful, but it really didn't change us. But humility is the solution. I called Mike Salino. I was going to ask him. I thought he was preaching last week. I wanted to sort of get an idea of what he was going to say. After I talked to Mike, I thought, what a humble attitude. He was talking about some, you know, preaching, what it is, and some struggles it can be. And I thought, what a great attitude. What a humble attitude. He's just really helpful. I will say that I love our elders. I think humility is the quality that they need, they have it. You know, Mike and Gina, Jim, Virginia, John and Beta Roberts, good picks. I'm telling you. They got my full support. Very thankful for them. Acts 8, verse 27. Humility. 27 through 31. Okay. So he started out on his way, and he met Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, was in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Philip said, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot, heard a man reading, and said, do you understand what you're reading? Philip said, how can I unless someone explains it to me? That's just a great question. That's a humble heart. How can I unless someone explains it to me? Here's a guy who is respecting the scriptures. He bought the book of Isaiah as a scroll. He bought it. He could read and he bought it, which is very rare back then. And as he's reading it, he's reading out loud. That is normal. You read it in your chair, and that's why Philip could hear it. You know, I mean, compliment your fourth and fifth graders. I've had the privilege of teaching them with Becky and some others for a few months. They're amazing. And whenever we read the scriptures, you can hear a pin drop. Somehow they've been trained that when you read the Bible, you respect it, which is amazing. By the way, this is a plug. If you're a brother in here, and you right now hear a call from God to teach, it's true. You need to follow that. Obey that. Another angel named Helen was telling me that we need more men. And I've really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. Respect for God's word. You got to love the Ethiopian eunuch for his respect for the scriptures. I mean, it's humble when you know the scriptures. When you respect God's word. He's reading Isaiah. He's been to the temple worship, right? He's been to church. And on the way home, where's Colin? He's not doing nothing, right? He's reading the scriptures. Why? Because it wasn't enough for him. It wasn't enough. He wanted more. He needed more. You know, I worry about me when I don't. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I don't have a quiet time. And there's that voice that says, really? You think you're this powerful and prideful without God today? He wanted more. He needed more. You and I need more. I'm convinced we need more. Sometimes we read this and, oh, I know what this is. We need more. There's so much rich depth in every part of the scriptures. And I believe we're spiritually hungry. We're spiritually hungry. Sometimes I wonder, why am I going shopping? Why am I doing this? It's because I'm spiritually hungry. And this, whatever it is, isn't going to meet that need. This sporting event, this shopping, it's not going to meet that need. I am spiritually hungry. I really feel like God's not trying to guilt us. He's trying to feed us. We don't always recognize that. Humility. Renewal of humility. Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? Sometimes the question to us is, are you reading it at all? Do you understand it? You know, you got to read a lot so we can grapple with life's and the world's issues. Sometimes we read the Bible, and I think Here's what I think. I think our 18 to 35-year-olds don't see the scriptures that practically. How does this apply? And here we can have a great talk about Jesus, and out there there's a big fire and a war, and we're ignoring it. I think that's what they see. I'm just being real here. How to take the Bible and apply it to today's issues is very important. People say, oh, you're being worldly. No, no. I'm being Jesus. Jesus was in the real world. How can I, unless someone explains it to me? You got to love that. He said, hey, this really matters to me. You know, I told Sajjan, got it right. I told Sajjan, this church is amazing. It's amazing. It has incredible rich depth. Maybe it's dormant, maybe it's untapped sometimes, but it's incredibly rich. It says here, unless someone explains it to me, right? We have explainers. We have teachers. We have mentors. Remember Brian Hogle and Alex last a couple weeks ago talked about mentors? We have that. Some churches say they have 10 people that can really lead, really gifted as leaders. We have a lot. I went to the directory before I did this thinking, look how many people we have who can teach, who can lead, who can mentor, who have so much to offer. We have Colin gets up here. I'm thinking, we are so rich. How can I let someone explain it to me? Sometimes when someone wants to explain it to me, my pride gets in the way. And we need a renewal of humility. Here's the challenge I have for you from this passage. He said, how unless someone explains it to me, be someone to someone. Yeah. Be someone who spiritually knows this to someone who's searching. Renew it and let God work through that. Let's talk about the Ethiopian eunuch. A lot of times you'll read this passage and the Ethiopian eunuch is just kind of a person that you reach out to. And it's almost like this is the mission. And he reach out, boom, baptized. You know, we know more about him than we know about all the apostles except Paul. Of course, we know more about Jesus. But this person we know a lot about. A lot. Most authorities think he's a eunuch, right? And according to my sources, it says the eunuch in this story has main character energy. Right? Let me divide the room up for you. We got the right lane, we got the middle lane, we got the motorcycles. They know what main character energy is. Where's my daughter? I don't know what that means, but parents good, right? So the eunuch, though, you know, the did a lot of research, and most authorities think this is true castration against his will. He's 11, 12 years old. He's castrated, right? No more manhood for you. Your bones going to be brittle. Your heart's going to be messed up. You're going to have a high voice. You're going to be different. A eunuch against his will. Why would they do that? Well, he's going to be with the queen, and you got to trust him with the queen, and that's one way to do it. He's not a threat to the harem of the king either. And he's not going to be a threat to overthrow the kingdom because he has no heirs. He's going to have no kids, no family. We know he's in charge of the treasury, and he's likely financially very smart about what goes on. He knows the money trail of the kingdom, knows where it goes, how it works. He's important, but not highly respected. He's Ethiopian. Ethiopia wasn't a country yet. So what does that mean, Ethiopian eunuch? That means he's black. And for that, he's the wrong race when it's all said and done. And he's gone to Jerusalem to worship. It's like at a feast. But he's not a Jew. But he's not a Gentile either. If he can go to the feast, he's what they call a proselyte. It's kind of a middle ground. He's gone to Jerusalem to worship. You know, life is about the lunchroom, isn't it? When we were kids, the lunchroom. Who are you going to sit with? Right? Who are you going to sit with? You sit with the cool kids? I'm sure they had cool kids. I never saw them, but... You gonna sit with the jocks? All right. Gray area for me. The nerds, my home base. The stoners, it was a group back then. You know, the lunchroom was all about where you fit, right? Where do you check the boxes here? How about this Ethiopian eunuch? Where's he going to sit? He's black. He's surgically altered. Gender variant. He's rich, civil servant. He's a foreigner. He's childless, but he's literate. And a person of faith. Here's the question for us today. Is this Ethiopian eunuch welcome here? It challenges me. Is he really welcome here? Does he leave here today rejoicing? I mean, God put this person, this is a real person, in here for a reason for us to learn from. Amen. Revolution of love. Is he welcome here? I love Northview. I do. I love it, love it, love it. But some of this is a journey for me, it probably is for you too, of how we love people. His whole life, you know, is confusing, right? His gender's confused. His race is challenging. And maybe you see people and you wonder, hey, they're really not our people. You know, my greatest fear, and I'm saying this personally, is that we would build a club. Yep. We'd be in a nice church club. That's my greatest fear. I'm not saying we are. I'm just saying it. I feel it. I feel like Satan wants us to do that, yep. To build a church club. We got members only. We got special handshake. We got the money. You know, we have a church club. And worse, and including me, to have a Pharisee club. Right? We have a bunch of rules, and here's how it goes. And you got to fit these, and then we're like them. You know, Jesus' strongest words were not for the prostitutes. It was not for the tax collectors. We're not for the beggars and lepers and sinners. But for the Pharisees. They built an elaborate system, membership, self-righteousness. They built a really big club. And Jesus was furious. The hardest words in the Bible are when Jesus said, hey, you are doing all the wrong things. You're shutting the kingdom of God in people's faces. This is a country club, not a kingdom of God. Don't get me wrong. I don't think we want that. I don't. But it's easy to be comfortable. It's easy to say, okay, there's really no Ethiopian eunuchs out there. And if there are, well, they'll live in my neighborhood. But I tell you, the 18, 35-year-old, this is what they're dealing with. This is home. Yep. We better get pretty good at it. I had a brother tell me one day, hey, let them deal with it. You know, it's not my problem. We need a revolution of love. Miss God's grace. You know, since I'm at it, I worry that we don't have enough black and brown people. And I had a brother tell me, he said, I feel like I go to a white church as a black person. And I felt that was disheartening. It's like, I know God wants us to be brothers and sisters, family united, as an example of shining to the world. Here's what love's about. There's a quote I want to read you. I think they have it back there. It's by Gil Scott Heron. Know him? The first revolution is when you change your mind about how you look at things and see there might be another way to look at that you have not been shown. That's the first revolution, sort of how you look at things. Stuff like that's so true. And I think the Ethiopian eunuch tells us that. How can I unless someone explains it to me? Sometimes I need someone who's not me and not like me to explain it to me. Black and brown brothers and sisters, it helps when they explain it to me. A single mom who talks to me explains it to me. It really helps. Someone who's Asian to say, hey, here's what we face. It helps. Someone who's gender issues, it helps. Explain it to me. How can I unless someone explains it to me? I think God specifically wants us to see this person, the Ethiopian eunuch, with all his confusion, to teach us, to mold us. So verse says here, so he invited Philip to come up with sit with him. So I want you to indulge me for a minute. How much time we got? Indulge me for a minute. I'm going to tell you about my family. Some of you know this, some of you don't. Most of you don't. I'm from a small town in West Virginia. I have five brothers and sisters. My youngest brother was born when I was in high school. He's now a deputy sheriff in Wilmington. My younger sister, 2.5 years younger than me, she does your credit card security. Whenever there's a big break, she goes and fixes it with her team. My twin sister, I love her. She's had kind of a bumpy life. Her oldest daughter was born on our birthday when she was younger. When she was 30 years old, she died of a drug overdose. My older sister is a federal court attorney. So we have a pretty big gamut of people. My older brother is named Daryl. We call him Dusty. So I'm 25 years old. I'm in medical school. My house had caught on fire. Broke up with my girlfriend. I was broke. Exams were brutal. My parents were near separation. So my mom, I'm on a break. My mom sits me down. She says, I want to tell you something. I want to talk to you about your brother. He'd been looking kind of pale and weak. You know, he'd lost some weight. He didn't look so good. I was worried about him. I got to think, what's the worst thing she could say? He's got cancer. She said, your brother's gay. And I'm thinking, you know, cancer's not that bad. You know, it's just like, I just like, wow, what? Your brother's gay. Look back and think, yeah, there were some things you may have thought about, but I didn't see it. Fortunately, I was around the church by then. I had some really good people around me. They said, love your brother. Amen. Don't abandon your brother. Yep. Which, you know, everything about me is very heterosexual. And it's like, this is a challenge, right? They're fundamentally shaken. I love my brother. I love him. You'd love him. I always love my brother. In the 1970s, he didn't come out, right? The homophobic was normal. And I'm thinking, how did he hide it so much? Because everybody hid it. You had to hide it. You couldn't let people know. You couldn't let your own family know. Yeah, you had to hide it. My brother eventually moved to Los Angeles, California. He became the director of the Gay and Lesbian Center in California, Hollywood, California. In 1993, when he got there was a budget of $8 million. Now their budget is $250 million. They have 10 buildings. They do all kinds of stuff. They serve the poor. They clothe and shelter all kinds of people with no homes. They feed the hungry. They house the homeless. They give free medical service, free medicines. They help kids keep from getting in human trafficking. It works amazing. It really is amazing. And he works with many charitable organizations, including Hope Worldwide. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you invited me in. When I needed clothes, you clothed me. When I was sick, you looked after me. I know I've read that somewhere. I love my brother. I greatly respect him. And you may think, hey, this takes a longer conversation. I totally agree. A discussion, a scriptural study. I get all that. And we're all on a different path in the journey. Well, we can't ignore it. My brother has served people for a lifetime. He's been a warrior and a fighter and had a lot more courage than I ever had. He's a better strategist and planner than me, more thoughtful than me. He's not as funny as me. He taught me how to play tennis, but I'm better. So when he sees this, he can know that. You would like him. You would. So he is retiring from his position as a director, and along with his longtime person, it's not his partner, but she's the CEO. She's amazing, totally amazing. So they're retiring, and they decided the organization to throw a gala for him, he and her, for retirement. 500 people were invited. It's at a big banquet. At the front table, if you want one of those tables, $100,000 to sit there. He knows everybody who's everybody in Hollywood. That better be God. Holy Spirit. So prior to, you know, the actual banquet, there's a big reception out on a beautiful lawn out there. It's really nice. 500 people. And, you know, I've come a long way. I really love my brother. And I thought, should I go? Yes, we should go. Becca and I were going to go. My two sisters went. I get out there and I'm thinking, what should I do? I'm not going to sit back and be judgmental. Not. Amen. There's one thing I've learned is that love never fails. So I determined to meet as many people as I could. I saw my brother was surrounded with people, and all, you know, everybody talking to him, all these big shots. I thought, I'm going to meet as many people as I can. I've never met so many people who dressed like Elton John. It was so much fun. I'm telling you, it was so much fun. I was afraid to show up, but I probably should have. I have a picture of me and two drag queens. I don't have it, but they're 6'8", right? And I got my arms around them right here, and they're here. They're only drag queens there. Everybody else was just, you know, gay and lesbian, but... It's so funny. And you look at me, I'm a little tiny dude and two big people. But it was so much fun to talk with people, get to know them and hear their story. And hear, you know, because I'd say, hey, I'm Dusty's brother. They're like, who? I'm like, Daryl Cummings, I'm his brother. Oh, right? And it was so much fun to hear their story, hear what they had to say, and think about their lives, which is very different than mine. You know, it's a journey. I'll give you that. But I felt like, and my brother, so he saw me meeting all these people. And a couple days later, he said, hey, he was really happy. He knew that, you know, hey, it could be a challenge for me. He said, how'd you do that? How'd you meet all those people? I said, church. Church. That's where I learned it. How to meet people, how to love people, how to fellowship, how to be interested in who people are. Their souls. So he invited Philip to come up with him. I know this is a journey and it takes a longer discussion. I'm good with that. I've learned this too. Hate is never the answer. Ever. They'll know we are disciples by our love. God is love and love never fails. We need a revolution of love. And finally, let's talk about the revelation of the King. Acts 8. 32 through 35. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he didn't open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Revelation is uncovering for this eunuch. What a great question. Is he talking about himself or someone else? And the eunuch can relate to the passage, right? A sheep to the slaughter. Silent. I had no choice in the matter. Didn't open his mouth. Humiliation. Deprived of justice. Who could speak of his descendants? The eunuch could say, that could be me. Who is he talking about? And Philip said, with that very passage of scripture, someone else. He's talking about the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Son of God. That's who he's talking about here in this passage. And the eunuch said, a king, let me tell you about my king. His king, the king of Ethiopia, considered himself the son of the sun. I'm untouchable. I have a harem. The queen's job was to be president and run the whole show. That's her job. Pretty good, huh? Your sister, president of the United States. That was the queen. The king considered that a low job, and so the queen did all the work. All the resources were toward the king and queen. All the people served the king and the queen. They decided justice. If all the people, you know, who did a big building died, it didn't matter to them. They were the king and queen. And Philip said, the king I'm going to tell you about is nothing like that. Nothing. The true king is nothing like that. Not like you've ever seen. It's very different. He'll change your chariot ride forever. He said, this king of kings was born in a barn to unwed parents. Never wealthy, didn't hardly own anything. Worked as a carpenter and a mason until he started his ministry. He taught, blessed are the poor in spirit, the peacemakers. What's inside a person counts. Love your enemies. Forgiveness. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. He taught the greatest among you be the servant of all. We need the heart of a child to get in the kingdom. He welcomed the hurting, the broken, the forgotten, the harassed, the helpless, the lonely. He's a friend of the prostitute, tax collectors, beggars, lepers, sinners. He was kind and gentle, gracious. He was a healer. He said, I've come to serve, not to be served. He said, I've come to give my life as a ransom for many. And that's exactly what he did. He was the sheep to the slaughter, the Lamb of God. He was deprived of justice. He was humiliated. His life was taken from the earth, crucified on a cross as a criminal. But he rose victorious from the dead and now offers forgiveness of sins and offers to you to be part of the true family of God. And the Ethiopian eunuch went, poof! Right? Not the kind of king he knew. He said, that's for me. I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. He got baptized. So church, we're on a journey. We're chasing chariots. We need a renewal of our humility. It leads to a revolution of love and a revelation of the king. In the end, the Ethiopian eunuch, and hopefully us, we can check the only box that really matters. Saved by the blood of the Savior. Let's pray. God, I hope this has been helpful to us. I thank you so much for your spirit of love and power. I pray, God, that we'll think about these things, God, and really have a humble heart and trust you. Thank you so much to the church. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.